Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, good morning to you. You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show. Happy that you're here with us this morning. I'm Mark. That's Kim. That's Carl. We got Sue Thomas standing by with more on the traffic issues out there. You know, my friend Mike Wiegand, the chief down in Eureka, the police chief, sent me a link to the Merrimack River water levels right now. And you got to understand something. Flood level down there is like 19 feet. And it's above 32 right now. Major flooding on the Merrimack is noted at 31 feet, and it's above 32. This thing's going to track up to 35 feet, they think, by the 8th, which is tomorrow, and then slowly start going back down around the 9th and maybe just below major flood level on the 10th. So whatever water problems you're having related to the Merrimack are going to continue into the weekend, at least three more days before this thing really starts to drop off and even gets out of what's considered moderate flood level.
Mm-hmm. My sister-in-law and brother-in-law live in Pacific. I think, thankfully, they're not in one of the flood prone areas right along the Merrimack, but they received a few days ago saying, heads up, you might want to sandbag, and anyone in those areas, you should probably evacuate. And then, Carl, we were just seeing, was it Fox 2 was reporting that you can store your stuff for free for 30 days in one of the storage units?
Go to the, there's a website that I did not.
Yeah.
You better move
notice
it now, because the water is a-coming.
Yeah, and the people who live down there are probably used to that. But Chief Wiegand tells me that there's some water encroaching on those lower fields, probably down there at Eureka High School. And anywhere you'd normally see that water backing up, you're definitely going to see it the next couple of days. So please be careful and don't drive into it, whatever you do.
Diane on Facebook says she's in Eureka, and a few of her friends are on islands.
Oh, I'll bet.
Wow. Stock up on food, because, I mean, it's not like it will take forever for the water to recede, but
Might be too late for some of them if they're already on an island, for sure. Coming up, we got former U.S. Senator Jim Talent. I can't wait to get him on, get his reaction to the groundbreaking victory that happened Tuesday night. Really a groundswell of support and a rejection of the Biden-Harris policies across the country. And then Tommy Pigott. Now, he's the RNC's communications director. I'm anxious to see where he thinks they go next. Like, you transition from campaigning to governing. That shouldn't be as hard this time as it was last time for Donald Trump, right? Because he's done it. Next, he needs to decide who's going to help, right? Who's he going to put in these key positions? And my guess is he won't make some of the mistakes he made the last time. So in terms of personnel, and then you've got RFK Jr. yesterday, who said, Hey, look at me. Put me in charge of the FDA. I can already tell you entire departments that are going to be eliminated because they don't do anything.
I want to slow clap RFK Jr. There needs to be a complete overhaul of all these organizations that claim they're looking out for the health of Americans, because they've done almost the exact opposite of that.
Wait till you see the reporters attacking him already.
Oh, I'm sure.
Because of what he said about fluoride. And the reporter had not read the report, had no idea what he was talking about, but he just wanted to argue with RFK. I may get to that for you here a little bit later, but right now I want to get to our top stories.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Hold on, Carl. I'd have my computer turned down over here. That is my fault, ladies and gentlemen, but listen to this.
And it was a terrible night for everyone who voted against him. And guess what? It was a bad night for everyone who voted for him, too. You just don't realize it yet.
Yeah, I needed late night jokester Jimmy Kimmel, who's not been funny in about 8 years, to chide me last night because I just don't realize how stupid I am yet.
3 years from now, the United States will celebrate the biggest and most important milestone in our country's history. 250 years of American independence. What
that
a great country.
Should be a great birthday party if Donald Trump is in charge of it coming up.
We have been working both in my office and with other Democratic AGs across this country to make sure that we would be ready to respond to any attempt to roll back our rights.
What a horrible woman she is. That is Letitia James, the Attorney General of New York, who ran for office on the promise of prosecuting the Trump family and the Trump organization in any way she could.
Well, I'm so proud of her. I don't think people realize how hard it is to get to where she was.
Poor Claire. She was all torn up yesterday. This is Claire, who told you during coverage, you just wait. This isn't over yet. This is going to be huge when we get all those college students to turn out and vote for Kamala. But they didn't. They're probably at home, partying or something. They didn't turn out and vote.
No.
And that's kind of what she promised people on MSNBC the other day. But she just feels so bad for Kamala. She put it all on the table.
You know, I have to say, I felt like Kamala came off more authentic and well-spoken in her concession speech yesterday compared to any other interview she'd done or rally. I know people are saying there were undertones of like threats, and I didn't necessarily get that vibe. I felt like she took a dig at Trump when she said, you know, I'm going to have the peaceful transfer of power because that's what we do. I felt like that was understandably she's trying to kind of poke at him.
Yeah.
But other than that, I was like, what? If you would have come off this natural, I still don't think she would have won because she didn't really have a stance on any policy other than I love abortion. That was her platform, and also Trump's Hitler.
Maybe.
But she was much better in her concession speech than any other speech I've seen her give.
Well, then the odds are that she switched speechwriters, right? Because that's the only way that could happen. None of her speeches were her original thoughts, which is why she struggled with them, which is why she couldn't do one-on-one interviews, in my opinion.
Or if the teleprompter went out, she would completely fumble and just say the same thing over and over again because she didn't really know what she was supposed to say.
Well, let's get to the dark places portion of the Kamala closing speech yesterday. Cut four, Carl, please.
I know many people feel like we are entering a dark time, but for the benefit of us all, I hope that is not the case. But here's the thing, America, if it is, let us fill the sky with the light of a brilliant, brilliant billion of stars. The light of optimism, of faith, of truth, and service.
What does that mean? It's a dark place, but let's fill the night with light. Is that like setting a 7-Eleven on fire? That would fill the night with light, wouldn't it? I'm trying to read between the lines here.
No,
was she encouraging violence?
I think, trust me when I tell you, I do not like Kamala Harris, but I think people are reading a bit too much into this. I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt and say that people I know who are big Kamala Harris fans are all posting, this is a dark time, it's a dark day in America. So she's probably playing off all the liberals spazzing out over the fact that she lost and trying to say, let's light up the night with whatever she said, a billion stars. I know I sound just like her. My impersonations are spot on.
Jimmy Kimmel said basically...
Yeah, thank you, Carl.
Jimmy Kimmel said basically the same thing last night. It was a horrible night. It was a horrible night for everyone, even you suckers that voted for him. You just don't know it yet. Like, this is your problem, Jimmy. This is the problem with your party. That's your attitude toward your fellow Americans who overwhelmingly rejected your politics yesterday. Overwhelmingly. But that's why your ratings are so bad, so we don't have to guess about that anymore, do we? Coming up, let's get to Jim Talent, a former U.S. senator, anxious to get his thoughts. He's been through one or two of these campaigns, and what we saw Tuesday night was historic. 312 electoral votes as of this morning. That is a landslide. We'll be right back.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back.
Please pick up the election results today and see what happened. The American people want this president and his administration and his party to make progress on the things they promised to do. This is exactly what happened last time. They were plotting to impeach him before he ever took office back in 2016. Let us not have a replay of this. Can we just have a couple of years of peace for the Republicans and President Trump to do what they promised to do? Because the American people clearly are asking for it.
That was Scott Jennings there on CNN, and Jim Talent joining us right now. I'd say the answer to that, Scott, is probably very doubtful. What do you think, Jim?
Well, I think the answer is up in the air right now. Now, there's no question that the Democrats are going to do everything they can to oppose the policies, which, of course, is their right. The question is whether they engage in these extraordinary tactics, you know, like crossfire hurricane or this sort of thing, to undermine the president's legitimate prerogatives and powers. In other words, are they going to recognize that he's the president and he's entitled to be treated the way presidents should be treated? There's a better chance that they will, Mark, because the election victory was so decisive. In other words, the American people have pretty clearly spoken.
Yes.
And so I have some hope. I guess I would say to you, I think there's a pretty good chance that it'll go off differently this time.
Well, I hope so. Let me get your reaction then to Tuesday night. As of this morning, according to TheHill.com, with Arizona and Nevada in his category, President Trump swept those swing states, and he has 312 electoral votes, which is a landslide by just about any measure. Is that what you expected, Jim?
No, I thought it was 70-30 Trump was going to win. If you put a gun to my head and made me guess, I would have said it would be narrow. But I did think there was a chance this would occur. And, you know, we can talk about why if you want. The logic of the election favored Trump. He had a strong, consistent, credible message, and he was running, obviously, against a very lackluster candidate. And so this was always a possibility. I would not have thought he would have won the popular vote, and he's won it, and it's not going to be close. And another thing I find extraordinary, Mark, is how close, relatively speaking, Trump ran even in states like New Jersey.
Yeah.
So he increased his support across almost every demographic and region of the country, and that really is extraordinary. So as I said, it's a decisive verdict by the people in a way I think 2016 was not. And that's going to have repercussions in Washington.
Well, given his landslide win, I think one thing Mark and I have been talking about is how surprising it is that seven states, including Missouri, voted to enshrine abortion into their constitution or some degree of that. And I mean, I blame a lot of that on initiative petition reform and that we couldn't pass it here in Missouri. But are you as surprised as we are that you have people voting for conservative leaders and then you also have those same people going and voting in favor of abortion?
You know, Kim, ballot issues, voters usually will take separately from how they're going to vote on a partisan standpoint, at least unless they sense there's a partisan aspect to it. And I think what we're seeing here is what we should have expected from as a result of the Dodds ruling, which is that this is going to go back to the states. There's going to be turbulence over a course of time, and then the state laws will eventually reflect sort of the equilibrium of what people want in each state. Now, this one, Amendment 3, was very extreme. I think there wasn't a lot of opportunity for voters to realize that. So I don't think that's the end of the story here on that issue in Missouri.
Which means you think maybe the legislature brings it back in a different form to try to modify it a little bit?
Yeah, I think there'll be a lot of discussions about what to do. And a complicating factor here, Mark, is how is this going to be interpreted? In other words, the Missouri courts are going to have something to say about this.
Yes.
Do we need to know what they're going to say? But I'd be surprised if there aren't going to be a lot of discussions about what we do to get a law or amendment regarding abortion that at least better reflects what I think most Missourians want. So we'll see. Mm-hmm. I think everybody's going to have to try and figure it out. And, you know, we're only 2 days after the election. So I'll give them a little time.
Jim, I've got about a minute left here, but I have to ask, given the fact that I know you were at least in consideration for a job previously with Donald Trump, would you consider going back and working for him? Is that a possibility?
Well, I'm not looking for a job. I did do a number of part-time things for the last Trump administration. I was on the China Commission. I was on the Defense Policy Board. I think there's a good chance I'll end up doing something like that. Obviously, if you get a call from, you know, people in the administration and they say, we really need you to consider this job, then you have to think about doing it. But I'm not looking for it. And, Mark, there are so many outstanding people, up-and-coming young people, or younger people, to do this job. I'm really full of hope. The president's going to get a great team and a great bench.
Yeah, I hope so. But he needs people he knows he can trust, Jim. So if he chose you, that'd be fantastic. Let us know.
Thank you, Mark. I will.
All right. Thank you. Jim Talent, former Missouri senator. Always love to get his thoughts on that. Yeah, he was being considered for a defense secretary at one point, I know, near the end of the Trump administration, the first one. 45. But now we're looking at 47. What's going to happen next? What is it, Tulsi Gabbard? Who's he going to look at for Secretary of Defense? I saw a list of potential candidates today. Maybe we can talk about that a little later. Tommy Pigott coming up. RNC Strategic Comms Director with their strategy that helped win this election for Donald Trump. We'll be right back.
We need to really take a step back and think about what does that say about us?
People who woke up this morning with a dream and are going to bed with a nightmare.
I'd like to know what that says about us as a country.
I am, I'm mystified in some ways. Who are we as a country?
That's a little montage of post-election coverage by the media. They were dumbfounded that people turned out and gave Donald Trump a landslide. 312 electoral votes, according to The Hill this morning. Let's get to Tommy Pigott. He's the RNC Strategic Communications Director. Tommy, good morning to you.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, thanks for joining us this morning. I would assume you're still basking in glory over there at the RNC, right?
What a big victory for the country. It really was resounding. And the mandate President Trump has from the American people now is really profound. It was quite an amazing night.
Well, I would like to give you an opportunity for a moment to give us some insight as to how this went down. I mean, I give Laura Trump a lot of credit, right? Things seem to have been run very differently this time around from the RNC perspective. That's my opinion. Tell me your thoughts on it.
Well, look, the chair and co-chair set out to really do three things when they took over. They set out to first raise funds necessary to run this campaign, or at least run the get out the vote operations and election integrity operations of the campaign. The second and third are those two different functions, the get out the vote and the election integrity operation. Of course, we saw from the fundraising, massive fundraising numbers, and President Trump, of course, is a huge part of it. People motivated to be part of this movement to save America. The get out the vote operation, we had tens of thousands of Trump Force 47 captains across the country, thousands of volunteers across the country knocking on doors, making sure we got out that vote. And the election, election integrity operation, our chair and co-chair set out to recruit 100,000 poll watchers and poll observers as part of the election integrity operation. We recruited over 230,000 poll watchers and poll observers to be part of that operation, in addition to our rapid response legal operation. So it was really quite an effort. It really was a victory for the American people, all the many volunteers that got involved across the country to be part of the election integrity effort, to donate, to knock on doors. It really was such a huge win for America.
I think the Democrats unintentionally helped with the fundraising efforts, because I think back to the conviction, right? And that drove me to want to donate for the very first time to Trump's campaign, the multiple assassination attempts. I think that really was a factor in so many people wanting to stand behind him, coupled with the mainstream media that just absolutely was in for Kamala Harris.
Yeah, I think the American people saw the weaponization and said, that's not how our country's supposed to work. That's not democracy. And it really, you know, cut at the heart of the Democrats' whole argument here. When they claimed to be the party of democracy, the American people saw them to be anything but, and it really was just hypocrisy. And I think a lot of people experienced the same thing you did, wanting to donate, wanting to get involved, wanting to volunteer. And we saw that across the country. And, of course, President Trump, with his vision that he has to motivate people to put America first, is a huge part of that, because the American people saw the Democrats going after him, and all this man wanted to do was have an America First trade policy, lower costs, unleash American energy, put the American people first. That's what he wanted to do. That's why he got in politics in the first place. And I think the American people saw that contrast, and it was really a clear contrast. And the answer when they went to the voting booth was easy, and the vote was for President Trump.
Yeah, yeah. So, Tommy, tell me what role the RNC plays now in terms of helping Donald Trump build an administration. Are you actively involved in making recommendations for cabinet positions, things like that?
Well, I don't want to comment too much specifically on the specifics of the transition. That'll work itself out. Obviously, the President Trump has been reportedly taking calls with different people and different world leaders and things like that. Right now, what the RNC has been doing has been tied at the hip with Team Trump. And as we look forward to this transition, our job at the RNC is really to make sure that we're keeping the party as strong as it's been. And under President Trump's leadership, our party is incredibly strong, and it's incredibly robust, and it's more diverse than ever.
Yeah.
So our job is to make sure we build on that progress.
And you guys have to take the U-Haul truck over to Heritage and load up Project 2025 and transport that over to the White House, right?
Anything but. I mean, as President Trump has said, Project 2025 is not his agenda.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things with Democrats. His agenda was on the website. You know, it was not a secret. He was not hiding it. It was right there for everyone to see. And it was a popular agenda. It was a very popular agenda. So President Trump has the mandate now. And that's what's so powerful about this. Every single county in this country are just about moved towards President Trump. Every single demographic group are just about moved towards President Trump. He was the first Republican to win amongst Latino men. He doubled his support with Black Americans. I mean, that mandate is so strong and so powerful. It really showed the American people want to put America first.
I know that Congressman Thomas Massie has been thrown out as a potential for the Department of Agriculture, and people seem to be loving that idea. Now, I know you probably can't comment on that, you know, on behalf of the RNC, but just on a personal note, what would you think of that choice?
Well, look, there's a lot of great Republicans. Again, I don't want to comment on the specifics of any sort of transition moves or anything like that. We'll see what the president decides to do when he moves forward. But ultimately, there are a lot of great Republicans with a lot of great records of success. I mean, one of the things that's great about being a Republican is that your policies work and you have an agenda items that are popular. So that's one of the great things we're seeing. We saw the American people react so positively to that. And just a quick side note, one of the things that President Trump was able to do by building this movement was these coattails we saw across the country with so many people coming out to support Republicans down ballot as well, when looking like we're going to have the House majority, the Senate majority. So, and we also flipped several different legislatures, state legislatures across the country.
Yeah.
So it really was a powerful night, a powerful mandate. And President Trump has that mandate to govern and to deliver on all the promises that he's made. And he has the track record of delivering on his promises.
Tommy Pickett, our guest from the RNC. So the House has not been decided yet. There's still a number of outstanding races. What are you guys doing to monitor those? And because, I mean, in some cases, there's still quite a few votes outstanding, right?
Yeah, look, that's part of that election integrity operation. I mean, those 230,000 plus poll observers, poll watchers were part of that across the country. We saw that, of course, on election night with different actions that we took. But yeah, we have eyes on every single part of this process. We also have a rapid response legal operation. They took action before, and we're going to make sure that this election is free, fair, and transparent by making sure we have eyes in every single part of this process.
I wish I didn't even have to say this, but I'm worried that assassination attempts are going to continue and possibly even ramp up. How worried are you about that? I mean, obviously, he had a massive amount of security. I mean, does that have to be increased even more so than it has been now that he actually has been elected president?
Well, I'm not sure the specifics of how that would look in terms of from, in the former president's role versus president-elect versus president itself. Of course, Congress is looking at the specifics of what happened there and making sure that there are resources necessary. And of course, you can't help but be concerned, given the fact that there was two assassination attempts in this election alone against President Trump. So, you, of course, you have to be concerned about that. I think it's incumbent on Democrats, and I hope there'll be some self-reflection here amongst Democrats, that their smears and their lies did not work electorally, and they did a great damage to the political discourse. The fact they're going out there and saying the worst possible things about President Trump, but also his supporters. And I think that needs to end.
I think you're absolutely right. Tommy Pigott, I appreciate your time this morning, my friend, and good luck with as we move into this transition. Thank you.
Thanks for having me on.
Yep, great talking to you. I mean, here's the thing, and I mentioned this a little earlier, but if you weren't listening, I think it bears repeating. Yesterday, I had to listen to Kamala Harris and then a statement released by the White House that there will be a peaceful transition of power, as if we're better than you and we're going to peacefully transition. There was a peaceful transition of power in 2021. Donald Trump walked out of the White House, got on a helicopter and left. So here's the deal. If Kamala Harris had been leading at 10:30 or 11 o'clock on Tuesday night, and she woke up Wednesday morning and Donald Trump was ahead by 400,000 or 500,000 votes, it would be the Democrats in the streets rioting right now over that. So acting like Republicans were, you know, acting out of character, out of sorts in 2020 when that happened, that didn't happen this time. That didn't happen this time. Donald Trump won on Election Day. We knew what the votes were pretty much on Election Eve. There weren't 400, 500,000 votes dumped into the system in the middle of the night. So I hate them taking their high horse there like they're better than the Republicans is utter nonsense.
By the way, talking about rioting, It looks like there was some of that. I don't know if it would elevate to that degree, but I think they were blocking ambulances last night in Chicago.
Yeah, outside of Trump Tower.
People who absolutely hate Donald Trump.
Yeah. And we'll see more of that. I'm sure as we get closer to Inauguration Day, there will be more of that. Can you imagine what security is going to be like in D.C. that day?
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. Wow. We'll see. All right, coming up, we're going to get to Kim on a Whim, part two. What are you talking about today?
How many of you have lost a friend over your conservative values? I have, and I'm going to go ahead and guess that I am not alone in that.
Yes, you are correct. We're going to get to that straight ahead.
Kim on a Whim.
You know, one of the things I've seen, especially from, you know, some of my wife's friends and some of my friends, is that they disagree with us on politics sometimes. They'll get very personal about it. And if you're discarding a lifelong friendship because somebody votes for the other team, then you've made a terrible, terrible mistake and you should do something different.
Thank you, J.D. Vance. Unfortunately, I am in that boat. I had, and I've mentioned this before, but I had a very, very close friend, my closest friend of almost 20 years, stood by me at my wedding, and then 3 months later, she cut me out of her life because she didn't like my views on certain things, including my pro-life stance and other things related to she said was like the BIPOC community, all of that. And I know I'm not alone in that. I actually did a little poll on Twitter last night saying how many of you have lost at least one friend over your conservative values. 54% of you said, I have. That's substantial. Mark Reardon posted about this the other day saying that he's had true friends on the left who have decided not to be his friends. He said, I've never done that to anyone over politics, but I've had it done to me over and over. And he says people he's very close with who have, I guess, walked out of his life.
I would be lying to say that I'd never done it because there are people that have defriended me over the years, and people I worked with at Channel 4 have defriended me, and I've defriended a couple of them over politics over the last couple of years.
But I'm talking about, I mean, any friendship lost, I guess, is sad. But I'm talking about a very close friend. I mean, people who have said they've been friends with somebody
for decades. Your wedding, right?
Well, yeah, in my case, she was. But people who have been friends for decades, known each other since, say, elementary school, and then all of a sudden they can't even be in the same room anymore. And this could be family members. I think about how Thanksgiving, in 3 weeks from today, families getting together for Thanksgiving, and how many people are rethinking their plans because there's so much tension in your own family because you don't see eye to eye on politics.
I am so happy that we do not face that problem.
Same.
We don't have that problem that I know of.
Oh, my family was together watching the election results. We were all chanting, Trump, Trump, Trump. Even my in-laws, thank goodness. We all are on the same page, and it makes it so easy when we're together, because if politics comes up, because in a lot of conversations now it does, that's what everyone's talking about, you don't want to claw your eyes out.
It's funny you say that, because Channel 4 even did a story on this yesterday. I noticed it on their website last night. All the pressure and stress, and how do you handle that with the holidays coming up? And they went out and talked to an actual psychologist about it that they got on Dr. Kriya Forrest. Listen to what she had to say.
I think it would be important to set really firm boundaries, be clear about what you need and what you're going through with your loved ones, but set boundaries. Tell them, I don't want to talk about this right now, but we can talk about X, Y, Z. So being clear about the things that you want and sticking to it.
I can honor that. Does that mean I can't wear my Trump sweater to Thanksgiving?
Mark, again, you're the person who likes to stick the knife in, and then you twist it just a little bit more.
I don't have to say anything, though. If you don't want me to talk about it, I won't talk about it.
I'm just going
to
wear a Trump hat and a Trump shirt and Trump socks.
You may want to avert your eyes, but, I mean, a lot of people want to do that anyway with me, so that's okay.
Tension is going to be high, and I think it's okay to maybe say, hey, look, I don't want to talk about this. If things get rocky and you're trying not to get too riled up, I can understand you saying that, but it is laughable when I see, in fact, I forget which college it was, but one of the colleges actually canceled class. I don't think it was local, but canceled class because I guess the professor was
Missouri
so,
State?
No, I don't think it, maybe it was Missouri State. They were the
Springfield.
Ones who, they were the ones who put out some message saying they're going to have these calming jars, which are like, you know, cylinder looking things with a glitter water and stuff that you stare at and it's supposed to be calming. And they were offering college students, guys, these are people who were like 20 years old or whatever, coloring books because they were so upset. Now they're canceling class because the students are so upset and they're not up for taking a test. Give me a break. I've been upset too, and I've had hard days, and guess what? I go to work and my life goes on, and
you get
over
it.
Yeah. I did, Mark. I'm here to tell my story. I'm a survivor of hard days.
People need to, they just need to take a breath and calm. I know calm down is a trigger word or whatever, but I said this to a friend on Facebook yesterday, and I'm surprised she has not defriended me, but somebody had to say it to her. You just need to take a breath. It's not the end of days because the candidate you didn't like got elected. Your party lied to you that he was a tyrant and like Hitler. They intentionally deceived you to try to fire you up to vote against him, but they were lying to you. You're going to be fine. Just like I was fine after 8 years of Barack Obama. You'll be fine.
Let me just say, for everyone getting together with family and friends on Thanksgiving, when you have different opinions, Godspeed.
Let's put it this way. On Thanksgiving, the tension can be thick. The gravy better not be. I'm just telling you. We'll be back in just a minute.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
88% of the workweek is spent communicating, so it's important your team does it well. Enter Grammarly. Grammarly's AI helps teams communicate clearly the first time. It shows you how to make words resonate with your audience, helps with brainstorming, and lets you instantly create and revise drafts in just one click. Join over 70,000 teams and 30 million people who use Grammarly to move work forward. Go to grammarly.com/enterprise to learn more. Grammarly. Enterprise Ready AI.